apologies for what God said or the manner in which he said it. His words belong to him. They do not belong to me. I shall never seek to apologize on behalf of God. God meant what he said when he said what he said, and it is my job to believe it. It is my job to seek its wisdom. It's my job to apply it and practice it in my life. And so that we shall do here on Reflections upon the Precious Book Divine. I see that we have several of our Bible students, our regular Bible students, joining us. It's always good to be with you. Always enjoy the conversation that we have. Even on a Monday morning, I'm enjoying the conversation that we have as well. So we have several things lined up for us today. I want to take the time to read, and then we'll talk about some announcements, and then we'll get into our songs and our Bonner bonus and things such as that. We'll have our prayer. If you have any prayer requests, please put them in to the chat window, and we will get to those. But here's our text that we'll be studying today. James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now there's our text, and in just a minute we're going to come back with the lesson of our hour and what we have entitled our lesson today is Wisdom is Available or Granted Upon Request. And so we'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. Well, let's see here. Just a couple of announcements before we get to our song and prayer. The Nesbitt Church of Christ would like to extend this invitation to anyone who is listening to come and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of study, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Now, I will tell you just a little bit of a tease here, maybe, in regards if you're thinking about joining us. On Sunday mornings, we're studying 2 Thessalonians. We've already finished 1 Thessalonians, and now we're looking at 2 Thessalonians, a rich text, by the way, and a wonderful study of these two books. On Wednesday night, we're actually studying the book of Joshua, and we just begun our study 2 weeks ago, and so we're not too far off. We've really been looking at Joshua as a man and Joshua as a book, and those are the two studies that we've had thus far. And so if you come and join us, you might want to read up on those good books. We are focusing on Sunday morning a series of studies, and I really don't call them a series, but I have in mind a particular projection that I have in my preaching. And we're talking about God. We're talking about the Godhead. We're talking about, well, the big questions in life, I guess I should say. Is there a God? What is God? Who is God? Questions such as that. Where is God? That would be another one of those. And we're looking at the nature, the essence, the character of God in regards to those items. That is our MO, you might say, for the next several weeks. Now, Sunday night, it is a free-for-all. One of the reasons is because one of our men, Brother Clint Horton, who delivered a series of wonderful lessons over the last couple of months from Nehemiah chapter 8 and that text, as well as we dealt with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7 and a correlation between Noah and us. And it was a beautiful lesson last night. Also, Brother Andrew Wynn, who is one of the second year students at the Memphis School of Preaching. Now, Brother Clint Horton is a police officer here in the area in South Haven, and Brother Andrew Wynn is a an excellent young man, wonderful family, good gospel preacher. He's going to be preaching for the Smithville congregation in Smithville, Mississippi, when he finishes at Memphis School of Preaching. But he is scheduled to be finished, I believe, by Father's Day. And so Father's Day is always graduation. And we are saddened that he's going to be leaving us. But we understand every year when we get a new student that there is the projected date of their departure from us. And it's always a good thing because they are moving on into the preaching world. And we appreciate the fact that we've had some ability to influence them, and that they have, and in most cases, they have just truly influenced the congregation here. And so that's always a beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, let's see here. I'm trying to think of anything else on the agenda as far as the invitation. Oh, there is one other thing. Not only would we like to invite you to our regular services, but we'd like to deliver a special invitation to you at this time to be with us between May 2nd and May 5th. We're having a gospel meeting, and it's not just a gospel meeting. We never have just gospel meetings. This is a powerful presentation of the eternal nature of truth. That's what Brother Bonner is going to be talking to us about during this particular series of lessons. So that's the Nesbitt Church of Christ, May 2nd through the 5th, The Eternal Nature of Truth with Brother Mike Bonner. And we'd love to have you as our guest. Now, if I might sneak this in, now I'm not going to tell everybody, but I will tell you, May the 1st at 5 p.m., we're going to have a fish fry here at Nesbitt, 685 Nesbitt Road. Actually, we're doing the cooking over at the house underneath the carport, and but we're going to be feeding whoever shows up for a wonderful fish fry. Now, don't be spreading that news anywhere, but if you're in town, you're going to want to be here either that Saturday, or especially you're going to want to be in town throughout the gospel meeting time. All right, enough of that. The 5th Annual Men's Development Conference at the BCS Church of Christ in College Station, Texas is just around the corner. It's going to be June the 2nd through the 6th, and this is your invitation to join us. We've added ladies' classes, one each day for 4 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There will be a ladies' class. We always have a tremendous amount of ladies who show up. They show up with their husbands. They show up with their sons. During that particular time, they do an enormous amount of work behind the scenes, helping BJ and Miss Mona and the congregation there, breakfast, lunch, and the big supper out at the Rollo Ranch on Friday night, I believe it is. And so it's always a lot of work behind the scenes, and these ladies are hard at work. And so Miss Mona and Miss BJ are going to give them we're not going to cut out the work, but now then you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be able to study the word together. And so let's see here. What else do I have? The phone number today is 405-428-2440. If you would like to join us, if you have a question or a comment about today's program and you want to be on the air with us, you can certainly do that. And we certainly want 405-428-2440. That's what we want. So let's see. I see that we are having some prayer requests that are lining up, and we want to make sure that we get them into our prayer list. So I want to make sure that I read along and I don't miss any of those that are coming up. Sister Higgins, we will certainly remember your granddaughter. Hate that she had that asthma attack. Some of those can be very, very dangerous, and so we want to keep her in our prayers as well. Sister Woodall's the congregation where she meets, she says there's 5 adults, 1 man, four older women, including her. And so we want to continue to pray for that. If there's anything that I can do in order to help in regards to that, you just let me know. And I will do what I can in order to help strengthen the congregation there. Let's see here. What else? I know that there was, I just want to make sure I don't miss any of the prayer requests. Okay. So if you have those, go ahead and get those in while we have our song and our song, right? Walking on Heaven's Road. You just, listen, in my mind, it don't get any better. I know that ain't good English, but it don't get any better than walking on Heaven's Road.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down, you're walking on Heaven's Road. And when you're walking on Heaven's Road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that Heaven's Road? Ain't no people crying there. Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on Heaven's Road. And when you're walking on Heaven's Road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that Heaven's Road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on Heaven's Road. And when you're walking on Heaven's Road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that Heaven's Road? Won't you come along and join me on that Heaven's Road?
All right, my friends, again, what a beautiful song, and We're glad that we can sing together these beautiful songs. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer at this time. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at this time, and we thank Thee for the entrance into Thy presence. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that there is none righteous, no, not one, that all have sinned and all have fallen short of Thy glory, that we do not belong within Thy presence. That we are a people of unclean lips, and that we are and we dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That only through the blood of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, as it was so brutally extracted from Him, but so freely given, do we have the opportunity, the blessing, and the privilege to stand before Thee. May we ever, our Heavenly Father, praise Thy holiness, Thy majestic nature. May we always recognize that Thou art God and we are not. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of the great care and love that You have for Thy creation. And so we beseech Thee, and we beg Thee and beseech Thee on behalf of those who are struggling with difficulties. There's many within the area, within our own congregations, that are struggling with great difficulties, and we want to pray certainly for those that are on each of our minds. May not have been specifically expressed, but You know the hearts and minds of all men, and there are many within our congregations that need our aid and assistance and need our prayers, and we beseech Thee on behalf of them. But especially for beloved Sister Jensen, and the work that she is doing in Washington with her with her family. We pray for her and her family, for her strength, for her family's strength. We pray for Brother Alex and his continued struggle to return home and to be a blessing to the church up there. We pray that that all things will work together for good for thy people in that area. We pray for Sister Woodall and the work that is being done in northern Wisconsin and the congregation up there. We realize that, you know, sometimes we don't understand what small or what small as far as a congregation means. Some people down in the South consider 300 a meeting together as a small congregation. And but those up in the Northeast and the Northwest realize that it can be much smaller than that. But our Heavenly Father, we ask that we not despise the day of small things, that we understand that the strength lies within thy word, that we continue to live by that word, we continue to preach that word, and we continue to trust thee to bring about the fruit therein. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of our sister who is struggling in Sister Higgins' granddaughter, Phoenix, and her asthma. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that that can be extremely dangerous. And this is a dangerous time in the springtime for those asthma attacks. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, you be with Miss Phoenix, and that she would recover nicely, and that she would continue to grow in grace and in knowledge. We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, that we have the time, the opportunity, and the privilege to be able to come before thee in our prayers. And so we ask, our Heavenly Father, that you would forgive us of our sins, strengthen our resolve in our study. In Jesus' name, amen.
But in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever you betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Our shame by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms around us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge near, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
A shelter in the time of storm. A shelter in the time of storm.
We are truly blessed, my friends, to be able to sing these rich songs, to be able to encourage. It's a strengthening of the heart to be able to sing these songs, and it infuses the heart and the mind and the soul of man with such great strength. Well, another thing that infuses the soul and the heart and the mind of man with strength is the Word of God. And so today in Brother Bonner's bonus, we find these words, "Preach the Word today." Paul said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." He told Titus to speak those things that befit sound doctrine. Micaiah said, "Whatsoever the Lord saith unto me, that shall I speak." The brethren deserve to hear what the Lord has to say. Let's give them His words. God bless and keep your hand to the plow. The day of the Lord is at hand. We will triumph in all things spiritually if we faint not. Once again, we have truly been blessed by the opportunity to be with Brother Bonner in this endeavor. And so we're always thankful that we can be with Brother Bonner in this manner. Now, in just a couple of weeks, he's going to be live with us. And we're going to be involved in our gospel meeting. And so we hope that you will appreciate the live streaming that we do of that particular work. All right, so we're going to get right into it today in regards to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And what we have entitled this is Wisdom Available Upon Request. To me, this is one of the amazing sections of the book of James. And there, listen, I almost even hate to say that, because every section that I come to, I'm probably going to say the same thing. Wow, that is an amazing section there. And so, you know, wisdom is something that is vitally important. And we've talked about wisdom on this program before on this broadcast, because we've dealt with some principles out of the book of Proverbs, and that wisdom is actually turning every event, every situation into its greatest good to service of God. And so we've talked about that great principle before. Someone has defined wisdom as the skill of using the best means to achieve the best ends in the best way for the best results in life. Now, my friends, you can't do that outside of God's Word. Now, I realize that there are a lot of people who are pretty smart, pretty intelligent, and there are a lot of people that are wise, and they are wise in the sense that they are able, because of the richness of information, they are able to put the principles of divine revelation into their lives, but they do so as plagiarists. They plagiarize God. They don't give God the credit for the wisdom that He has delivered unto men. They give themselves credit. They think that they pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. They give somebody else credit. They were mentored by somebody. I learned this from the great or the infamous, but all things stem from God. And so when we look at using the best means, the best divine means, to achieve the best ends in the best way with the best results. And by the way, the best results, and this is vitally important that we understand this, because far too often we seek pleasure rather than good. And there is a difference between those two. Oftentimes we fail to understand that that which is good may not be pleasant, and that which is pleasant may not be good. Psalm 133 and verse number 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, I've oftentimes used this illustration to distinguish between that which is good and pleasant. There are some things in life that are good but not pleasant. For example, my wife's banana pudding is good. No, it's pleasant. I might say, ooh, that's good, baby. That's good banana pudding. But it's not. It's pleasant. In this definition, it's pleasant because it's not always good for me. Right? If I lived off of that banana pudding, it wouldn't be good for me. If I had a big bowl of her banana pudding every day, it would not be good for me. Oh, it would be pleasant, but it would not be good for me. Now, discipline, when it is being meted out, is not good. It is, in fact, we talked about this, it is unpleasant at the moment, right? That's what we talked about last week when we talked about James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And we noticed Hebrews chapter 12 identifies for us that discipline at that moment does not seem to be pleasant. And it's not. But it will yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness, which is good. You see, so it doesn't feel good. That is, it's not pleasant. But it is good for us. And then there are some things that are both good and pleasant. When brethren dwell together in unity, it feels good. And it is good. It's pleasant, in other words, and it is good. And so we have to distinguish. See, trials, tribulation, those don't feel good. That is, they're not pleasant. But they will, if we allow God's system of growth to go through, it will benefit us in the end. In other words, if we using the best skill, right? If we're using a skill to the best means to achieve the best ends in the best way for the best results, and the best results are always when I please God. And so it is important that we understand that, in fact, the entirety of the book James is oftentimes related to the Old Testament book of wisdom. Now, in reality, there are five books that are designed as or said to be books of wisdom. But there's one of those in particular that is wisdom perfected, right? And that's Proverbs. Job is listed in there, Psalm, and as well Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. All of those are wisdom literature. But if I was to ask anybody, what book out of the Old Testament best explains the idea of wisdom? Every one of us would say the book of Proverbs. In fact, someone would just not have to know the Bible to make any other suggestion other than the book of Proverbs, or they would want to be just, I want to do something, I want to say something different or weird. But if we're honest with ourselves and with what the Old Testament, it's Proverbs, right? James is the New Testament book for wisdom living. And we've talked about this from the vantage point that it's not any more practical, it's not any more useful or relevant, it's just that James demands of us to incorporate it into our everyday life. That's the practicality of it, and that's what makes it wisdom literature. But we all need wisdom, right? We all need wisdom. We all need that ability to use our skill to the best means available, right? To achieve the best ends and to have the best results, right? That's what we're talking about in regards to that. And so it is important for us to look at. In fact, Sister Woodall, you bring up a good point. Ecclesiastes is actually the opposite side of the coin from wisdom. And so I like what you say. Wisdom is also, or Ecclesiastes is also wise. But it it looks at it from the opposite side. Whereas Proverbs primarily focuses, now it talks about foolishness, but it primarily emphasizes wisdom. Whereas Ecclesiastes is a journal of foolishness so that we can learn how to be wise. Solomon said, listen, I tried everything. I tried wine, women, and song. I tried work. I tried every aspect of life, and I found it to be foolish. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Everything is foolishness under the sun. If you only do it for the thing under the sun, if you think that drugs and alcohol will salve your conscience, will make you happy and give you a blessing, it will not. It will promise a lot and it will take even more from you. The same is true with reference to sex, drugs, alcohol, all that kind of stuff. It promises a lot and it delivers chains and death. Death and destruction is all that it can deliver. And so Ecclesiastes is about Solomon seeking to live under the sun. And guess what his conclusion was? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. And so what you have with regards to Proverbs and Ecclesiastes is the same thing, just from the flip side of the coin. And so I appreciate you bringing that up in regards to that. That's important for us to note. But now let me also suggest this to you, that the Bible clearly indicates that there's not a single one of us in and of ourselves. This is what Solomon learned in Ecclesiastes through that, and us through his journaling. And that is that none of us know how to direct our steps. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We do not know. Without God's aid, listen, if left to ourselves, we'll be a mess. Now, some of us will be more of a mess than others. There's no doubt about that. But we'd all still be a mess. A mess is a mess. It doesn't matter how messy it is. It's still a mess. And you can take the best mess, and it's still a mess, right? But the good news is, listen, we don't have to adhere to that. God is willing to grant us wisdom. God is willing to give us direction. He's willing to give us aid in that direction. And he's written all of his answers down in a book so that we can have access to both the written word and that written word. Have you ever wondered why all of those Old Testament examples are still available for the New Testament Christian? Have you ever understood why? Well, it's there for our instruction, that we might learn through their example, good example or bad example, but we might learn what to do or what not to do in regards to that, that we might gain wisdom, you see. And so Joshua chapter 1, notice with me verse number 8, Joshua is told of God. Now, Moses has just died. The people of God have mourned him, and they're about to go in and partake of the richness of the promised land. And so God comes to Joshua and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then you get to verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. The only time Joshua and the children of Israel were not prosperous, the only time that they did not have success, was when they failed to consult God. The same is true today. We get our lives messed up because sometimes we want to consult God, and at other times we want to consult the wisdom of the world. Oh, wait a minute. I think James in our text calls that a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But I do want you to know that there is a catch here. We must be sincere in our request. If you want the wisdom of God, God is willing to give it to you. But the catch is you must be sincere. We must not only truly want to know what God wants us to know and what God wants us to do, but we must sincerely commit that doing to our lives. Think about this. There are individuals that are out there, are there not, that they want to do what God says as long as God happens to be going in their direction, right? As long as God agrees with them, then we're all in. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who was asked, the question was, God on the side of the North in the Civil War. And you say, he says, it doesn't matter whose side God is on. It matters who is on God's side. You see, God is not on either side. I am either with God or I am not. And I thought that was pretty wise statement in regards to this. But notice what James tells us here, going back to James chapter 1 now and looking at verse 5 through 8. We're going to begin with verse number 5 because verse number 5 identifies for us that God's wisdom is available. And it's available to whomever asks. Notice verse number 5 again. If any of you lack wisdom, now, God, it says, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally. Now notice that. Any of you, he says, let him, any of you, ask. And then he says that God giveth to all men liberally and abradeth him not, and it shall be given him. Notice the aspect of all involved in that. It's available to anybody who wants it. That's what we're talking about. God wants to deliver wisdom to your front door. Listen, Amazon wants to deliver a lot of things to your front door, but you have to request it for it to get there, right? And it's going to cost something in the process of gathering and having that delivered to your front door, but it's available. And so it's very important that we understand that it is available, but it's also very important that we understand how it is available. And so notice here, James begins by saying, if any of you lacks wisdom. Now, again, we all lack wisdom without God, but some have already the wisdom of God because they have asked. They have put it into practice. But if you're one of those, James says, if you're one of those that's lacking wisdom, I want you to know where to go to get it. Now, if you'll notice verses 2 through 4 and the context, it would seem to me that the primary context is if you lack wisdom on how to handle the difficult trials of life, ask God, and he will freely give you that without upbraiding you, and he will tell you the best possible way. And by the way, he's just done that, has he not? If we allow God's growth system, and we talked about that last week. In fact, I've just prepared a manuscript. It's probably one of the reasons why we're engaging in a study of James. In October, the Spiritual Sword Lectureship in Memphis, Tennessee, is going to have an entire lectureship, I think about 32, 39 speakers on the book of James. And as one of the speakers, I began to study the book of James a little bit more intently during this particular time of preparing my manuscript for the book. And so that's why I want us to deal with some of these great principles. But notice what he says here. He says that here is God's growth system, right? You count it all joy. You know this to be true. and you let patience have her perfect result. Well, that's a part of a process that God has set in motion to help us to grow. So if we're going to know how to deal with the trials of life, then we need to ask God. God has the answer to handling the trials of life. But it's even, I would suggest, even a broader application can be made of this. Wisdom can be granted and dealt with in every aspect of life. So if you want to know how to be a better mate for your spouse, God is willing to grant you the wisdom of doing that. How do I handle the different nuances of marriage? I mean, listen, it's not like being single. I mean, now there's two in one instead of one in one, right? And so how do I handle these situations in life that are going to come up? There's some difficult situations, but there I need to know ahead of time on how to make them smoother, right? How do I handle children when they come along? Listen, if you study on how to be a good father, a good parent, after you have children, you're already too late. Study that beforehand. Study how to be a good spouse before you get married. Study how to be a good parent before you have children. Study how to be something before you become it, right? We send preachers off for 2 years. It might, here it's the Memphis School of Preaching, but it might be one of the others, Brown Trail in Fort Worth, Southwest in Austin. There's a couple in Florida, so forth and so on. But here's the point. Before they become preachers, we generally send them to school, right? Before you become accountant, then you're going to go to school. Before you do, generally, that's the way it works. Well, why not study? By the way, whether you go to school or not, you better study about something before you engage in it. That's true of anything. So there are some preachers that never went to school, but they studied about preaching and they studied about the Word of God. And so if we're going to go through anything in life, we need to study. We need to ask God for his wisdom. And, you know, it's interesting. You think about what your life would have been 25 years ago and what it would have been, how it would have been different today if 25 years ago we would have been asking these questions of God. God, how do I develop into a aged preacher mentoring others? If I had started that 25 years ago, I might be a better mentor today than I am. You see, and so studying about the events that are going to transpire in our life before we ever get there is something that will help make us even better. And so we need the rich truths of God's word. But now, notice here, God promises, see, it's available. And God promises that all that we have to do, he promises here that what we have to do is to request it. And he will give it. But the question is, what does that mean? You know, if I request something from somebody, it might take some work in order to get it here, right? And so I'm going to ask for a little dozer work in my driveway. I want someone to come along and do a little, and it's going to take some effort to get that done. James says also, if you'll notice in verse number 5, that he gives liberally. That is, he's very generous. God is not some stingy old man that lives in the woods and doesn't want to be around people, doesn't like people, and just wants to do the bare minimum to get by. Oh, no, God is a liberal giver. It's the only time in Scripture I think that liberal is a good thing. And God is very liberal. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and following, the Bible emphasizes that God gives liberally and that we should be liberal givers because God is a liberal giver. And we see it right here with regards to wisdom. God wants to give you liberally, abundantly. By the way, Sister Woodall, you bring up a good word. He gave life abundantly. Study that word abundantly or abound, abundant, abound in Scripture, and show and look at the association that God has with all of those items. They abound. God wants us to abound in this. He wants us to abound in love. He wants us to abound in generosity. He wants us to abound in our care and concern for one another. God is an abounding God. He is a God who richly gives above and beyond all that we could dream of, think up, or imagine in regards to the liberal nature of his character. That's who God is. But not only that, he says he'll give it. What does he say here? He will give it and it will. He will abradeth not. You know, that's interesting. God is not going to scold you for asking. You know, there were times in which my children would ask for something that they knew they shouldn't ask for. And as a parent, I might scold them for that. What do you mean asking for that? God is not that kind of God. God is not that kind of parent to where, and there are some parents who are always scolding their kids. You see them, stop that, don't do that, and they're always scolding them. Don't ask that question. That's a stupid question. You know, God never says that is a stupid thing. That is, there are some stupid things out there, don't get me wrong. But if you ask for wisdom, God is not going to upbraid you. He's not going to scold you for asking. He's not going to tell you, well, that was the dumbest thing you could ever ask for. No, he wants us to ask him for wisdom. And so God is delighted when his children seek wisdom from his mind. And that's expressed in his word. The more we know about the word of God, the better apt we are to be able to apply it correctly. But now, I want you to notice this. God says it's available. Now, he says, if you ask, he says he will give it liberally and he will not upbraid and it shall be given. But he says there has to be a commitment associated with that. And that commitment is to, in sincerity, do what he has asked to be done. Look at verses 6 through 8 here. I want us to be able to notice this commitment. Because James puts forth a warning here. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But let him ask in faith. That is genuine trust in God's way and trusting that God's way is always the best way. Listen, I think there are a lot of Christians who have lost their faith that God has their best interest at heart. I think there are a lot of Christians who have lost faith that God's way is always the best way available. There is, listen, we consult counselors. We consult everybody under the sun rather than consulting God. It suggests that we've lost our faith in God's way. But if you read through Hebrews chapter 11, then you're going to find men and women who trusted God's way was the best way. They trusted that God had their best interest at heart. Yeah, he always wants what's best for his children. And he's granted us that availability to the best. He wants us to have life, and he wants us to have it abundantly, John 10 and verse number 10, as well as eternally. And so it is important. You know, mankind's first falling into sin came about because Satan talked Eve out of believing God's commandments. He talked Eve out of believing that God had her best interest, that God should be trusted, and that God would perform, that God did have their greatest interest in heart. Why would she want to partake of that tree to be like God? Did she think that God somehow had left something out? Well, obviously, God must have not had our best interest in mind if he won't let us partake of that tree to become like him, right? And so that was a part of the beginning point. But what's even more is that James warns us not only to, he says, let him ask in faith, but now listen to this part. Nothing wavering at all. There should be absolutely no doubts involved in this. And the word that James is using here is about making judgments. Nothing doubting. Should I obey God or should I not? Well, when it comes to this commandment, should I listen to God or should I not? Should I trust that God has my best interest at heart? Should I react this way? I know God told me to react this way, but should I? You know, and there's all kinds of people out there telling us sometimes just the opposite of what God said, right? God said, listen, you need to do it this way. And they said, well, I don't like that. That way is going to be a hard way. I don't want to go down that road. That way is going to cost me a great deal, so I don't want to go down that road. That way is going to be, so I don't trust God's way to be the best way in all of that. That's what he's talking. No wavering at all. No doubting at all. No being tossed back and forth. That's the illustration. Yes, I'm with God here. I'm not with God here. I'm with God here. I'm not with God here. And so it's back and forth driven by the waves of the sea. But now Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 15, and verse number 16, that if we trust the word of God, we will not be driven as the wind and the waves of the sea. And so what is our attitude about obeying God? Well, you know, God, just tell me what you want me to do in this situation. And if it turns out that I really want to do it, or if I think it's the best way and I don't find anything better, then I'll do it. That is not trusting God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and following says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. You see, we need that kind of trust in God. Notice how he continues this. He says, in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what we're talking about. That's the correlation between James and the book of Proverbs at this particular time. Now, James also says that in verse number 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Here's a man who's back and forth. You don't ever know where he's going to stand. What kind of preacher would that be in our pulpits today? If whenever he got up, you didn't know whether or not he was going to lean upon the Lord or upon the wisdom of men. Well, I would suggest it's about 95% of the preachers today in our pulpits. You don't know where they're going to come down. So when a pandemic hits, you don't know whether or not they're going to worship God or not. You don't know whether or not they're going to go virtual or not. You don't know whether or not they're going to stand for the truth of God's word or not. And so they are, we would say they're wishy-washy, right? They're double-minded. They're unstable in all of their ways. This word actually means that there's two of them. That's what it means. It means they're two-minded, double-minded. They got two minds. You don't know which mind's going to show up, right? They want God's wisdom, but then they don't. But isn't that like a lot of people today? They want the blessings that come from God's word, but they don't want to have to do what God said do to gather the blessings. They don't want to run through the process of God's growth system, but they want to grow. Everybody wants to be better. Nobody wants to change. That's pretty much American society 101 right now. Such a person is like that person in the boat, tossed back and forth by the heavy waves, unstable in all of their ways. But the beauty of it is you don't have to be unstable, right? You don't have to be tossed back and forth because you can ask in faith. You can ask without wavering. You can seek the wisdom of God. It's available, but it takes a commitment. Are you committed to the way of God? My friends, it's such a pleasure to be with you each and every day. And as we continue to study the book of James over the next several weeks, I want to thank you for bringing such richness to our Bible study. May God bless you as you continue to study not only this good book, but that is the good book of James, but as you study all of God's divine revelation. Thank you for being with us, and God bless.